I'll read the text, write down just themes that I want to go with, and then I'll go down and I'll walk the dollar store just looking. And sometimes I'll see something and I'll go, I don't know what I'm going to use that for, but I know I'm going to use it for something. And sometimes they're my favorite ideas.
Welcome to Created Creative. I'm Dawn.
And I'm Ruth. And here we are.
Sorry, I was cleaning up lunch with a toddler as you logged on.
Well, you got to do that stuff when you have a second.
If I get behind, it's all over for life.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny being now at the stage where my boys are so close to flying the coop and I'm reclaiming all this time that I gave to them for all these years. And it's the strangest feeling. Kids take a lot of time, but kids are worth it.
Totally worth it. How was your week?
Today, I'm going up to, because there's a funeral tomorrow. And in Minnesota, I didn't realize that this isn't a tradition around the country, but at least in this area, there's that tradition of having a prayer service the night before the funeral. So we're doing that at 6:30. It's nice, though, because people share memories a lot more when it's at the funeral home and it's smaller.
Oh, yeah. You know? Insiders come to that. And so the public speaking danger has been removed. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then the actual funeral is tomorrow morning. So I was curious how the book project is coming. I need an update.
Oh, it's good. I'm thinking about how I write it in terms of how I'll promote it. And I know some people would be so horrified by that. Just say your truth and put it out there. But almost everything I put out publicly, I'm thinking about the audience.
Yeah.
And so this PR firm helped me find similar books, because whenever you're pitching a book, you have to say it's like X and Y and Z. Mm-hmm. And I've been listening to those books on audio and they're all structured the same. And I was like, I can do that.
Huh? Yeah, that's just smart. Yeah, it helps with the marketing of it.
Yeah.
Is that why you were reading the Emily P. Freeman?
Yes, the book. Emily P. Freeman. Kate Bowler just put a book out. Glennon Doyle, it's a little older, but it's these middle-aged mom saying, here is a chapter of my life and here is some universal truths that I have lifted out of that.
Yeah.
And it's theological, sort of. Kate Bowler is a theologian, but the other two are theological voices from the pews, so to speak.
Yes.
And I did go to the Luther Seminary, but I don't work as a pastor. I haven't had those kind of role.
But you're well acquainted with all of it.
I'm acquainted. Yeah. I was thinking of writing in there, I'm not an expert on God. I'm an expert on the people of God.
I love that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'm excited to see how it all comes together.
I hope it
does.
Exciting.
It will. But it's definitely more than an introduction that's your old book.
And speaking of introductions,
John Stevens, he's just awesome. And it feels like most of the world knows him already through all of his
things
that he does.
We've had a handful of famous people, and he is famous in a certain way.
Yes. He's very famous in his little niches.
Best known for, what do they call it? Dollar Store Children's Sermons?
Yep. Dollar Store Children's Sermons. He's been doing that for 10 years, he said. And so it's fun to hear more about his process with all of that. But then also he does magic and roasts coffee, writes haiku every day.
And I love the through line you found through all of those. These things all sound completely separate, but they tie together for him.
That was a great conversation.
So, also, you have known him forever. I just met him and we just go, oh, we met at the E, which, just to explain, there's an event that the Lutherans put on and it has this super long title, the ELCA Children, Youth and Family Ministry Extravaganza. So then people start just saying extravaganza and now people just say E. Like one letter.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's such an insider thing for him to say, oh, yeah, I just met you at the E. So that will happen in this episode.
I'm glad that you explained that because I didn't know what that was for a while either. So, okay. I just know that people will enjoy this episode.
They definitely will.
Oh, John, I'm just happy that we get to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking.
How are things in Oregon?
It is sunny, so much so that I had to close my blinds so that I wasn't reflecting off of my face.
The sun is everything, even when it's cold. The sun affects your mood.
Oh, yeah. It makes complete sense why religions were based around it.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that.
So now you two have met each other before, right?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we knew of each other, but we just saw each other in New Orleans in January. It was early this year.
January.
It was January.
Yeah, I got back on my birthday at 1 a.m.
So you
January
know when
22nd.
Is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I was like, we did it. Was like, yeah. Well, and then I also had to miss Byberg Preaching, which is an amazing preaching conference out here held Seaside Cannon Beach area. And normally, I guess the E, because I found that's what the cool kids call it.
Yeah,
E.
You have to just use one letter or you're not cool.
Yeah, the extravaganza. I guess normally that's held later.
I've only been two places in Oregon, and one of them is Seaside.
Okay. Yeah, Seaside's nice.
John and I, we've known each other for many years.
How do you know each other?
His brother, Chris, was on my first Lutheran Youth Encounter team. And John and his family had come to St. Paul to visit Chris. And then John and I started talking about seminary.
Chris wanted me to meet you, and we went to the coffee shop. So Chris and I and Ruth, and this coffee shop has this big, lush couch. So Ruth and I are talking, and Chris falls asleep on the couch as we're talking theology.
Oh, that's right.
Chris does not let me forget that.
Yes.
So but this will not be a snoozer episode.
No, not at all. No.
And Chris is still a dear friend, but then I just got to gain his brother as a friend. And so, John, you're one of my favorite creative people because you do such a wide variety of things, and you've made things for Consecrate, but you do lots of other things. And so we often ask guests to take a few moments to introduce themselves. And would you mind doing that for us now?
Sure. I'm John Stevens, currently serving at Zion Lutheran in Oregon City, Oregon. It's an ELCA congregation. I've been ordained, come December will be 25 years, which is crazy. I know. Let's see. So my brain is squirrels. and then I joke with the congregation that God called me to be a pastor because it's the one way I could make it through a worship without sitting and standing. So ask me the question. So Lutheran pastor, a middle child. I'm left-handed.
Me too.
Yeah, so we will rule the world with dull scissors and smeared fingers. So that's what I got. And let's see, I've got an older brother and a younger brother, which are wonderful. My parents are still married for over, close to 60 years. They are two amazing people that do justice work all across the board. I create because it keeps me healthy. I find that I do better when I'm creating something. That's just something I feel inside, that when I create, it gives me some type of structure that I can put those squirrels into as they pull my sleigh.
Yes.
Yeah.
So your brain is healthier?
Yes.
Or do you mean other kinds of health as well?
Yeah, probably both and. My brain, my soul, my spirit, and I feel happier creating. The counselor could have a heyday with that, but I know that there's more underneath that, but I also walk the line of being codependent. I always say I'm codependent, or at least that's what they tell me. I listen to them. And so I think the fine line between that is creating for myself or creating for praise. So if I'm creating so that I would gain the love of someone else, that's the unhealthy part of that, though. Still plays a part, but because we want viewers, we want readers, we want all of that. Those are the places where I have to be careful when I create, making sure that I start with me first.
And just so the listeners are aware, let's list some of those creative things that you do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I write haiku prayers daily. So I have a Facebook page that's haiku prayers, and then I put out books on the haiku prayer. I write devotionals. I've written two devotionals, one for Consecrate, which I'm overjoyed that you had me do that.
Wonderful.
And then I've done the Dollar Store Children's Sermons for now over 10 years. That is one of the more creative endeavors that people know me from. Some with haiku prayers, but mostly the Dollar Store Children's Sermons. And then I do magic. I've been doing magic for about 35 years. And so that's a deep passion of mine. Moments of astonishment, I call them.
I love how when John is with any group of churchy people, he's a rock star because people know him from the Dollar Store Children's Sermons. You get recognized, don't you?
Yeah, it's really weird and lovely. And I love every bit of it. And yet in the back of my brain, this voice tells me that anybody could do what I'm doing. So that kind of breaks it. But I love it. I love the recognition. So.
I just want you to know I could not do what you're doing.
Yeah.
So you do have a gift.
Okay. Yep. And I know that and I believe that. And then that voice works its way in, which is why when someone goes, oh, you probably hear this a lot, I'm like, tell me, because I am filing it away in the rainy day file. So the days that you're like, why am I doing this? Why am I trying to create? And then you go, oh, this does feed someone else.
And in the 10 years you've been doing the Dollar Store Children's Sermons, it's literally every week, right? For 10 years you've been making.
Yeah.
There's the consistency of that. Yeah. You know?
Every week. And then about 7 years ago, we at Zion, we did the narrative lectionary for a year. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't want to leave the RCL folks behind. So I did the RCL and did the narrative. And then we stopped doing the narrative after a year. And when I stopped that, I was like, oh, but there's so few narrative lectionary resources. So I don't want to leave them in the dust. So for the last 7 years, I've been doing two sermons.
Wow.
Or two springboards. I never do the full children's sermon. And the funny part is that's what people really enjoyed, is that it's a springboard. It's an idea. Mm-hmm. Never give them a script, because scripts don't work for kids.
Right.
They don't work for adults really either. But no scripts and no moralistic. Do this mm-hmm. and you'll be good. Do this so you'll be bad.
And I really like how, in fact, just this last Sunday, I took a look at what your idea was, because I'm like, I've got nothing. I need John. And I like how, I don't know if you do this every week, but you say you could use this item or you could use this item, because I don't always have just the one thing handy, but I might have something similar if you help me think of what else could work.
And I try to do that. And sometimes it's my squirrels that have gotten like seven ideas. And it is almost to the point where there's four different ideas. And sometimes I'm like, this, okay, we're going to go.
I'm impressed, because after 3 years, you could just recycle them and you're not.
No, sometimes I'll say, I've used this idea before and I like it. And so you might want to look at this, and I'll expand it a little bit.
So preparing two children's sermon videos each week, how much time does that generally take you?
Not as much as one would think. And I think I probably took more when I first started it. At the extravaganza, the E talked about, I use kind of a Lectio Divina approach for entering into the scripture and looking for a word or a phrase that rises up. So getting a feeling of the text, and then I'll walk the halls of the Dollar Tree. When I first got started, I would do it a month at a time. Yeah. Problem is that like every other store, the Dollar Tree cycles things. Right. So I can have something 4 weeks ago, and then someone comes up to do it and they moved it to a different holiday. But yeah, usually it takes, I'd say, about an hour a week, probably.
Okay.
Cool. You're very efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've gotten an iPad and an iMovie, make recording the video just a breeze. And then after 10 years, I know what I need to do.
You think your congregation, do they realize that these videos, that they're as widespread as they are?
Yes and no. I'll mention it in my pastor's report, because I want them to know that at the beginning of every one, it's really a shout out to Zion Lutheran.
Yeah.
Their pastor and serving there, we're part of the ELCA, so they get out there. We've actually had pastors on vacation where we'll get someone stop by and the congregation will find out how they heard about us. But the funnest part, the absolute joy, was when we went to Houston for the National Youth Gathering, and the kids in my high school group had no clue that I did this. From the point when we got off the airplane and we were waiting for our van. And that was my first experience of realizing that people recognize me. And the kids are like, what?
How does everyone know you?
Yeah. So my son, Peter, who's now in Oregon State University, he was in high school and was with the group. So afterwards, when we reported back to the congregation of their experience, he got up there and he says, first of all, I found out that my dad is famous. Because what I found out was, not only is he John Stevens, but he is the John Stevens. Because some pastor had said, are you the John Stevens? They loved it.
Yeah.
And there was a pride. We're like, hey, he's our pastor. Right. But Peter, still to this day, will throw that out as a joke. He goes, yeah, but are you the John Stevens? That has been buoyancy for my soul.
Which shows you how many people you're affecting.
Yeah, that's true.
They are like, oh, that guy helps me all the time. I have to say hello.
Someone stopped by and they said, you're much shorter in person. I was like, yeah, I'm 5'5". I'm not a tall guy, which actually made me think about how all of the things that we put on someone else when we look through a screen and all is this much, and all the baggage, good and bad, all the things we bring to a relationship when we're having a conversation.
And you have a relationship with a lot of people who have never met you in person.
That's true, yeah.
Uh-huh. I just think it's wonderful, especially the consistency with which you've been putting out this resource. I just think that's really incredible. And thank you for making it all this time.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What has been one of your most enjoyable creative experiences?
I mentioned Peter. So in 2017, Peter and I put out this book, 1,000 Words, Father and Son's Glimpse of the World, and we self-published it. So Peter is a wonderful photographer. He had all of these photos, and he shared them with me, and then I wrote haikus based on the photos. I love it. That's been my favorite creative experience, is collaborating with him.
What a wonderful thing to share with your son.
Can people get it on Amazon?
Yep. It's still out there. It's 1,000 words. And I realized that it's funny because when you come up with a title, they're like, this is absolutely creative and unique.
And there's like 17 things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, so it's 1,000 words, Father and Son's Glimpse of the World, and then John Stevens. And then Peter is listed as photographer and author. I just love it. That's been my favorite.
That's wonderful. Yeah. So we ask about your creative process, and I imagine maybe it's different for all the different things that you do, but do you want to tell us a little bit about, do you like to listen to music when you create, or do you need it quiet, or do you need to be alone?
No one else has had their creative process at the dollar store, by the way.
What's interesting is it always starts off in quiet. And again, that's because all the squirrels and all that. Even in high school, I could never understand how someone could study with music. I love music and I love lyrics and I love all of that and all the emotion it brings up, but it does all that. So if I'm trying to focus, I can't do it with music or something in the background. So it's quiet, and then read the text, write down just themes that I want to go with. And then I'll go down and I'll walk the dollar store just looking. And sometimes I'll see something and I'll go, I don't know what I'm going to use that for, but I know I'm going to use it for something. It just cries out. They had a mermaid pen. And you clicked on it. It was like different wishes that a mermaid would wish. And I was like, I love this. I have no idea what I'm going to use it for. And then most of the time I do, but there's times where I think that's also the creative process, bringing all the stuff in, knowing that there's points where you're not going to be able to use something. And sometimes they're my favorite ideas. Stephen King in his book on writing talks about that there's a point where sometimes you have to kill your babies. That's what he says, you know, as only Stephen King could say. But yeah, you've got something that you really love and you're like, I like this, but I've got to set it aside. But yeah, quiet and deadlines for my creative process, giving myself a deadline. Like when you wanted an Advent devotional, which was a wonderful gift because I was like, all right, I've got a different word, but I can't screw around. I've got to get to it. So that's helpful. Those deadlines are a gift.
I remember you said, when do you need it? And you're like, okay, you'll have it. When.
Yeah. So I'm doing another Advent devotional this coming year. And I wanted to do it, but because of being out of the extravaganza, Brad Dawkin, who's an assistant to a bishop out in the Dakotas, he's bringing me out there to lead a workshop and said, hey, are you doing another Advent devotional? I'm like, I wasn't, but yeah, I thought about doing it. But once he asked it, I was like, yeah, I'll do it. And it gives me that extra push to do it.
Oh, see, that's great because he gets the box. I know he buys it for his wife. See, it's wonderful. All interconnected. Yeah. It came to him in the consecrate, and then he asks you to do another book. And it's this beautiful web of creativity. I love it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah, I tell you, the consecrate's a wonderful box. Yeah. If anybody else out there hasn't got a subscription, you should do that.
Yes, I'll hire you as my spokesmodel.
I love all the curating of creative people.
It has been really fun. Speaking of creating, who are some of your favorite creators?
Yeah, nice. I like that.
That was very nice. Yes. You could be a talk show host.
Come here, squirrel. So I love the fact that you had Rob Bell on. That was amazing. Yeah. And Bobby as Pete Holmes, the comedian, they did a tour a while back. And so Pete refers to Rob Bell as Bobby, which I just love. So I've always liked his creative spirit and really loved. And I think you guys talked about that when he said that was 3 Robs ago. Yeah. I love that recreating of oneself. So I really appreciate Rob Bell in this realm, Richard Rohr for spirituality. Now in my other passion, sleight of hand magic, in that creative realm, there's some magicians that are just absolutely amazing in not only creating the effects, the tricks, but then the presentation and the story around them. Robert Neal, and there's a magician by the name of Paul Harris, who talks about the art of astonishment, said that our goal as humans, but as magicians, is to take the box of astonishment and with a crowbar, hold that lid open for just a little bit longer. He talked about the primal experience of a human being is that awe, that astonishment. And I love that beyond as pastor, as humans, that our job is to help someone else see the astonishment in our world. So Paul Harris, Rob Bell, those are two that rise up the list.
Oh, that's awesome. I was just sitting here thinking about how beautiful it is on this show, the variety of things people are creating, from cakes to books to magic. It's just amazing. Yeah.
To children's servants?
Yeah. To children's servants, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I think that my struggle is that I've got my hands in a lot of different pots. So there's times where one creative aspect or outlet needs to rest a bit. Maria Bamford, who's one of my favorite comedians, has a whole sketch on emotional whack-a-mole. And so I think it's like creative whack-a-mole. There's certain things that you're paying attention to, and then there's others you just have to let go.
Yeah. Different seasons of life.
Yeah.
We pay more attention to different things.
So one of my fears early on was that what I thought was the interest in magic, when that would wane, the fear of I'm going to lose that all, and realizing after a number of years, no, that can come back up again. Just because you've put it on the shelf doesn't mean that it's gone.
I love how all of your different creative pursuits flow into each other too, like the pastor thing and the writing and the children's sermons. And even, I know you use magic in the children's sermons a lot, and they all inform each other.
Yeah. And it's funny because I just thought about the other passion. I roast coffee.
So oh, yes.
Coffee
That's
roasting
right.
side business. Yeah. Pastor John's Blessed Beans. Been doing since 2018. And the reason I was thinking about that is that one of my passions has to do with connecting humans to other humans, whether it be over a cup of coffee, whether it be through writing, whether it be through the children's sermon when you're connecting with the kids. But that's the through line to them all. Magic can only be magic if you've got someone watching. I can sit and play all day long with a deck of cards, but that's all it is until someone else sees it. In our creative process, we really are longing for someone else to see it. And I think the healthy part is that is connecting humans together and
witnessing one another
when two or more are gathered.
Yeah. As it turns out, it's true.
Yes, it is. Amazing. Yeah.
So of all these things that you've mentioned that you do, what's your focus lately?
I've been doing more kid magic shows. And so some of that focus is looking at ways of doing shows for adults. In April, I'll be doing some walk around for Doomsday Brewing, which is in Vancouver, which is a pub and a pizza place, families. So I'm doing a show there. And so doing more magic. The focus really has been keeping them all at a particular place rather than one taking over.
Yeah. I resonate in my own ways because I have my different things that are important to me too. And it's like trying to keep all the plates spinning. But there's definitely times that I'm more focused on one than another. But they all matter to me, all the different things.
We live in a society that asks us to specialize, but some people are wired to be generalists.
Yeah. That whole phrase that, you know, jack of all trade or Jill of all trade and master of none. But I think that can put a person down when they say to about themselves, because I look at all the stuff I do, I feel like I bring a gift to that.
You are a master.
You know, and it's funny just how we talk about what does it mean to be that. Yeah, there's definitely coffee businesses that roast at a level that I haven't reached, or I assume, but I, right. I'm just making that guess. In magic, there are people I look up to and strive to be as good as. There's folks that I see, some of these 20-year-old kids that with a deck of cards will do stuff that I will never be able to do. And I can appreciate that, and it's beauty. And then I also know that when I do a magic show for 12 10-year-olds, which is the hardest audience in the
Oh my gosh.
10-year-old boys, right before they become an adolescent. And they're just right at there. They know everything.
Yeah.
So you're jack of 12 trades and master of 9.
There we are. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I like that.
So how do you see your creativity and your spirituality connect?
I think they connect like your podcast name. I love your podcast name, Created Creative.
Ruth is a master namer.
It's a good name. I like it. And it the whole... we are created co-creators. That's the connection of spirituality for me, is that as we create, we were created to do this stuff. And it really ties me in. So my undergraduate was at Lutheran Bible Institute, which closed years ago. And at LBI, you saw all these people that prayed in a particular way. And I thought, I don't pray. because my prayer life didn't match up with what I was seeing. When I was at seminary, and you have to go through all the hoops that you jump, and in your endorsement interview, which is usually second year, they asked me about my prayer life. And at that point, I went, I didn't. And someone around the table said, that might be a good thing to look at. You might want to explore that. And in that, this person, unknowing to me, gave me a deadline.
Back to that.
At the beginning. But so I talked with Paul Bowden, who was the chaplain, the PLTS pastor, and gave me a book that I think Alden Institute put out. And it was basically like personality in prayer or something like that. But it was all about how God uses our personalities and God uses who we are for the bettering of this world. And the whole gift, Corinthians, yeah. and all of those mm-hmm. things, the body of Christ. And when I started looking at all of the ways that what my prayer life would look like, what my spirituality looks like, it was all of the things that I liked to do when God was using that. And that completely changed how I viewed spirituality and how I pray. I love the tactile labyrinth that the mm-hmm. Muddy Fork mm-hmm. put out.
Yeah.
And realizing, oh, there's all of these beautiful things that we can use to get squirrels in a row, or at mm-hmm. least to pull their own weight, those squirrels. So that's that connecting point about everything I do is about the God that created us and using those for the bettering of humankind.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And so with your love of deadlines, I'm excited about this next part, because we always offer, since Dawn is such a gifted coach, if there's any part of any businesses or creative tasks that you're thinking about next steps and you might like some help or some coaching, Dawn is here. And we were just wondering if you'd like to ask her any questions.
So the next project I'm jumping into is the Advent devotional.
For North Dakota, you know, so, South Dakota.
Yeah, exactly. For everybody. But that was the deadline that got it. Now, I'm excited because it's early enough. I still have a deadline that I can mm-hmm. stretch that out to where I can get more focus or more deeper focus in that
yep.
and see how I want to
yep.
do it.
I don't know everything about your process, but
right.
since you do this to serve others, can there be intermediary times that you have something due to two best friends on June 1st?
Oh, yeah.
And then you talk yeah. about it. You actually could have some people try it out as Christmas in July.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
But then serving and it's a conversation
yeah.
because, as you were saying earlier, the thing is not the thing until it is witnessed, until it is two or three are gathered.
Yeah.
Make it sooner.
I have a friend that plays the part of an editor.
Love
and
it.
So someone sees it beforehand. And actually, I'm so glad because it's point
yes.
of it's my mom is a she doesn't do the editing, but my mom was used to be an English teacher and she was
my
gifted
mom too.
A pack of, and then she
my
became
mom edits
an accountant.
My stuff.
And when she
oh
got done being an accountant, when she retired, they gave her a pack of red pens.
Yes.
Because that was the, you can always tell when she took something seriously because she
yes.
would mark it with red pens. I love that. So
yes.
I have a friend that's an amazing editor, does that.
There's many kinds of editors when you work
right.
with a publishing house.
Right.
Is this like a developmental editor or is this copywriting or something else?
Yeah, it's both and.
Great.
The first part is. So I had a friend who died way too early, Jim Drury, who was a friend of mine up in Alaska. He was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And when we would write poetry and share with each other, he was a great editor because he would ask the question, how am I reading this? Am mm-hmm. I reading this as your friend, as a poet?
It yeah. sounds like the way to take things to a next level is to get more divergent ideas. Would this work at your church?
Good. And figure out who you trust to do that.
For sure.
Because I can already feel it here to go.
Scary. You know, like, it's yeah. Is that too frightening with a draft? Maybe it is.
Yeah. No, I don't know if it is. I just recognize that's a feeling there. And I go, okay. So as long as I know that it has to be someone, well, I don't know if it has to be someone that maybe that's a blocker that I'm putting on myself.
What if you ask yeah. somebody that you know is a naysayer?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What was that? I'm breaking up a little bit. yeah. No,
we
yeah,
all want
true.
To avoid our naysayers, yeah. but they see the holes in it. And you can say to them, thank you for your service. We're done now. But your work will be stronger by saying, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to send it to one of those people.
Yeah, that actually helps in another project, both, because one of
ooh,
the projects
good.
That I'm working on is putting together a cohesive magic show, basically almost a piece of theater that has a start and has a finish with music and all of that.
Great.
So take the recordings of that and send it to friends I trust.
That needs to go to a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, for sure.
I just want to toss in something in addition to all the bajillion of things that you are working on. And I think I mentioned this to you before a long time ago, that what you do with Dollar Store Children's Sermon, wouldn't that be a cool resource if you could turn some of that into a book too, that you could just have up on your website? And you have so many fans already.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up. And what I love about the idea as I'm sitting with it now is you talked about when you have multiple objects and that there's some stuff you get from the Dollar Tree, but then there's that thing that in your junk drawer, your kid's room or something like that. Because I think what my hesitation before was that things change in the Dollar Tree, but if you could make that more accessible beyond.
Junk drawer. Yeah. Everybody has a junk drawer. Yeah.
I like that.
I think that a traditional publisher would want that book.
Yeah. And I've heard you talk about the book you're reworking. You have a picture of your kid helping.
Yeah. She's a great editor. She just rips pages right out. It is like, not this one.
I like it. That might be after this Advent devotional that I've got the deadline for. That might be, no, let me rephrase that. That's going to be the next project.
You're committing?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm committing to that. Yeah. I think that would be really good after the Advent devotional.
So what day is the Advent devotional due?
I need to have it done by the beginning of August.
Okay.
Because it's the end of September is when I need to have copies over to Brad.
Awesome. So August 2nd, you'll be starting on this?
I'll probably be starting on the foundational stuff earlier than the deadline for the devotional.
Love it. Whenever one of these children's sermons can also just be from the junk drawer and not from the dollar store, you're just going to make a note because then you've got one ready.
Yeah. Yeah.
This will be more curating than writing, honestly.
There will be a lot of curating, which might be also asking for help from those who say, what ones have really spoke to you?
Yeah.
What ones have you really enjoyed?
And then those people are going to be your launch team because they feel invested.
Yeah.
Don, I think in a year we should have John back on the show and then we can ask him about his new book that's coming out about dollar store children's sermons.
I love it.
This is tax day. That's easy to remember. Next tax day.
Yep.
Have something to tell us.
But it might be called junk drawer children's sermons. You'll have
to know. Yeah, because you are queen of the titles.
She is very good at titles.
Yeah. You and Rob Bell have that in common because Rob Bell loves a good title.
Yeah.
Me and Bobby. Yep.
Good friend Bobby.
My friend Bobby.
But John, I know you have a commitment that's supposed to start now, so we better let you go. But thank you so much.
Oh yeah, thanks for asking.
Thank you for joining us for Created Creative.
We're so glad that you could be with us. And don't forget to follow us on social media and also to leave a review for us. We appreciate it so much. And go create something.
Go create something!